Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, SNME Radio proudly presents, it's reigning, it's defending, it's undisputed, East Coast podcasting tag team champions of the world, Brad the Dad McKinnon, Greg Father Feltham, the Smack Daddies!
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for Sunday night's main event. I am Brad the Dead, and running shotgun with me is my tag team partner, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
Why am I not so enthusiastic? Because I couldn't make my crap work and then had to reboot my computer before we got started. So sorry for the delay, Greg.
That's all good. I seriously thought about recording all that of you trying to sing and me just sat here saying, nah, I'm good. And then, yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, and worst about this is that I fell asleep.
You fell asleep
during SmackDown.
That's, do you know what? I can see that. I can see that in this show.
Yep. And the sleepy SmackDown is what I think this episode was. Because it's not that there's anything bad. It's not true. Yes, there was a definite turn in this SmackDown.
Okay. I think that we've already got the name of the episode because sleepy SmackDown sounds about right.
Because I'm not sure what was supposed to happen for the SmackDown.
Okay. All right.
So, Greg, let the folks know you are a half a time zone away from me because, and I'm specifically saying a half a time zone because I don't think this counts as a full time zone.
Yes, I am. As we record this now, it is 11:48 local time here. So that would be 11:18 for you?
Yep.
Or 10:18 Eastern, as I am here tonight from my ancestral home in Newfoundland. So if my accent is a little different, I have a tendency of picking up my accent when I come home and then losing it when I go back. So this week, maybe next week, you might pick up a few words, a few phrases that are a little bit different than what you would normally hear from me, but that's what it's going to be.
So if we're the East Coast dads, are you even more East Coaster because you're
you're further out? The Eastier Coast.
The Eastiest Coast.
Yes.
Because you can't literally, if you go much further, east, you're going to hit England.
Yeah, my home here is, what am I, 20 feet, 25 feet maybe to the water?
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're around where they did that experiment across the ocean for the first time ever?
Yeah, sorry, I said feet. I meant meters.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's right. Across the ocean for the first time ever, the Morse code thing where they put the kite up and they did the test on the telephone?
Yeah, the Signal Hill. Saw that this morning. Actually, my hotel last night was downtown St. John's, where that's what I was looking up at with Signal Hill.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. See, that I'm just quoting Canadian Heritage commercials. And for those of you who are away, as in not from Canada, there is this tradition we had. The reason they taught, we all know a certain amount of history, is that they used to air these commercials, which were like little history blurbs with terrible actors.
But let's be honest, because it's Canadian Film Board. What was the best one of all time? Because you know it, I know it. You shouldn't even have to think.
It has to be the... I have a sore spot for Patrick O'Neill.
No. That wasn't the best one of all time.
Okay.
And I'm not talking the Heritage Minutes, like the little short ones that are on TV that you would get like for 30 seconds. This one's a little bit longer, but it is the best one of all time.
Oh, See, that one always comes to me because I had a professor named Patrick O'Neill, and I did that to him the first time, and he said, yeah, because you're the first person who's ever done that.
Yeah. The answer, by the way, is the log driver's waltz, Brad. The log driver's waltz.
Waltz.
And this is where, you know, in post, you'll put in the log driver's waltz. If you
remember. Yeah. If I remember. Yeah. I'm just like,
And if you haven't, if you don't, we'll put the link in the show notes. You can YouTube it.
Yeah, you can definitely YouTube it. It is. You're right. How many times did you hit listen to that growing up?
Oh, my God. Hundreds. Thousands, probably. I was going to say, as Brad Googles it now.
Well, it was like out in front of, like, I'm trying to think, was it every, like, was it like there were certain times it felt like it was on every time I turned on in the morning.
I kind of want to say that it may have been one of those things where the Canadian commercials and the US commercials were different and they had time that they had to fill. So they popped it on in order to fill a commercial gap or something is what I think a lot of broadcasters did. Cause I think it's what 3.5-4 minute type thing.
Yeah, it was on all of the time. It just felt like, it's either that or it's CanCon.
Yeah, well, I mean that too.
All right, I can't find it in a quick Google search, really? So I will. Well, I can't spell waltz, which would be my problem.
W-A-L-T-Z.
Ah, there it is. The vignettes that come up. All right, so I think if I just play this,
you're just gonna play this season.
Well, I'm gonna mute the commercial, and then once the commercial's finished, I'll bring up the audio for this Log Driver's Waltz because this should be in post, and I'll edit out some of the beginning so just so that we can get right into this beautiful thing that is amazing.
All right, sounds good to me. 1979.
Wow,
yeah,
I'm gonna bring up the audio.
All right. That must be National Fair Board of Canada logo.
Canadian Film Board presents.
If you ask any girl from the parish around what pleases her most from her head to her toes, she'll say, I'm not sure that it's business of yours, but I do like to waltz with a log driver, for he goes burning down and down white water. That's where the log driver learns to step lightly. It's burning down and down white water. The log driver's waltz pleases girls completely.
All right. If you want the whole thing, you're going to have to go back and listen to this. I even brought up the video for Greg as we were watching the log driver's waltz as it went burling down like water. Yes, that was, I think it was just CanCon, Greg. Like, it's like every time they needed to make sure they got their whatever required minutes, we'll put the log driver's waltz on for 5 minutes. And yeah, damn.
Somewhere Sean Burkhead's head is exploding right now.
You think he even knew? Does he have this reference in his brain beforehand?
Not at all. Not at all. But do you know what? It's one of those earworms now that's going to be stuck in his head all day tomorrow.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. And for those of you who grew up in Canada, thank you, Canadian Film Board, for that monstrosity that lives in my nightmares.
I wouldn't go that far. It's a great piece of CanCon.
Yeah, sure. Let's. Although now I'm awake because the log driver's waltz is just going to play in my head rent free for the entire tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure. 100%. 100%.
Okay. So shall we get into the sleepy SmackDown?
I think so. I don't think there's any reason why we should delay getting into the sleepy SmackDown any longer.
What episode are we on?
Oh shit. I forgot to look up. Hold on. Stall for me for a second and I'll look that up.
All I wanted to say is apparently whatever's going on in the back part of, well, all of the nonsense that's going on right now in the wrestling world. Greg, did you hear today that apparently Billy Corgan's been personally funding the NWA and he's going to need to get cutbacks because that TV deal fell through?
No, I hadn't. I hadn't heard that, but I mean, that makes sense.
If he's personally funding the NWA, God bless the man, but how long can you keep flipping the bill for something that's not working out?
That's very fair. Episode 1265 from the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana, USA. I don't see nobody. I don't see nobody. Cause there ain't no
I'm the best, cause ain't nobody got me. Running through the crowd like there ain't nobody. Who's better than me? Best in the opponents, flexing and focus. I'm leaving them all looking stressing and smoking.
So let's just remind people where we left off last week. Recap number one. Okay, so Asuka joined Damage Control after she turned, and now Damage Control is stronger than ever. By the way, that's when we have they come out and cut a promo. It turns out that Kevin Owens is not back on commentary because his voice probably still is gone. So instead, Odie, you didn't know, we have Road Dogg on commentary. Greg, how did you feel about this?
Their ass had to call somebody. I did not have Road Dogg on my commentary bingo card. That was definitely a dark horse pick there for that one. But yeah.
Okay. Did you also expect us to have this much conversation about Billy Gunn on SmackDown? And quite literally Billy Gunn might have been on the other channel, because tonight, this episode of SmackDown is brought to you by competition from AEW on the other channel.
Yeah, and there could be some very interesting stuff going on that AEW show tonight.
Yeah, well, and if you want to hear more about that, the Grants will be covering that, I'm sure, at a later date, but we're not covering it.
No, Rampage. It's
Boris will be covering
it. Boris will have it.
Yeah, but they're not just doing Rampage. They also did
are they doing Collision tonight too?
Collision and so I don't know how they're splitting that up, but there was 3 hours of AEW tonight because the pay-per-view is tomorrow.
Oh, that's fair.
Dude, but who cares about a pay-per-view from Southern California? We had SmackDown and we had our own California girl and California girls, because Damage Control comes out to the ring and Bayley basically is taking credit for this whole thing about Asuka joining. And then Asuka says some stuff in Japanese. And this is, did you know that? I did not know before this that Dakota Kai was fluent in Japanese.
I would have assumed that Dakota Kai was. I mean, it seems like all of the members of Damage Control are fluent in Japanese, as Bailey, you know, understood Japanese, was able to accept matches before. It was Japanese, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, or she pretended to understand and then booked matches. The great line was, one of us is not part of the new Damage Control, and the crowd are all oohed thinking it was Bailey, but really it was because Bailey had initiated Asuka, and she gets out on one knee and offers her to join and says, I promise you guys will be on the next t-shirts, which was also a great line. And it turns out that Asuka's line says that she wasn't initiated and they want to have War Games here at, they get the women's War Game match and they want to wrestle Charlotte, Chauncey and Bianca. And if they can find a fourth. So the ghost tank comes out. Shotzi attacks by jumping off the ropes. A brawl ensues, but Shotzi, Charlotte, and Bailey are kicked out of the ring while Damage Control has the high ground. Greg, War Games! Are you excited at all for War Games?
I'm extremely excited for War Games, but not really. I think I'm more excited at Becky... Becky. Oops, that's a slip for later. Bailey, and all of them saying War Games in a Lord William Regal inspired.
I want just Japanese ladies to yell War Games together. That'd be great.
It's funny that they mentioned about War Games in Japanese and prior to this, without using the word War Games, but then, you know, later when it came time, they all yelled War Games. So,
sure.
They said, we don't have a team for War Games, was the translation, but they didn't actually use the word War Games before that, which made me laugh.
Okay. We're going to get a 6-man tag, my friend. Street Profits, Brawling Brutes, and Pretty Deadly. So, first thing I noticed was that the Street Profits have a new song. How do you like their new song?
That makes one of us who noticed, because I didn't.
Okay, so they have a new song you didn't even notice. It definitely doesn't have the high energy. It has more of a heel. Dad went all out to get a new song for them.
Oh, that's nice. Good on Daddy.
So, commercial, back from commercials. Shotzi's in the back and explains that she just wanted payback, but now they have to work on finding a partner, and this becomes the storyline for the show. Who could possibly be Damage Control's, could join them to fight Damage Control? Dun, dun, dun.
You don't have that sound?
I do have that sound, but I thought it was more. Dude, it was the worst. I barely wanted to play the sound because it doesn't feel like it's earned, but I will. Because you called it last week. You literally called this last week.
Yeah.
And the worst part was it's not even like they drew it out over two shows. It was like by the end of the night. And as you see, Nick Aldis goes into the locker room. You can see Adam Pearce there.
What, in the background?
He's in the locker room in the corner.
Okay, so I made a note of this. And that's not who I thought it was.
Who do you think it was?
I thought it was Cody Rhodes.
Oh, maybe it was Cody. I saw somebody in there and I thought it was Adam Pearce, but maybe it was Cody. That would make way more sense given what happens later on too. But
yeah. Well, I literally have a note on my phone here. It's like, was that Cody Rhodes in Nick Aldis' office? And I just left it. And then at the end of the night, I was like, oh, maybe it was.
Comment below, folks. And who is right, Brad or Greg? And you just write, Greg was right, Brad was right. You don't have to. Well, I'm sure like five new news services will pick this up later.
I'm sure. I was going to say, I'm actually going to look now because now that we're talking about this to see.
I'll go this match and then you can tell me right or I'm right. Pretty Deadly versus Street Profits versus Brawling Brutes. Street Profits start off and Daddy Lashley's in the back. My wife is sitting there and comments immediately says, oh, look, it's like she's a dad gone to a hockey game. He's like a dad gone to a hockey game. He's got his coffee in his hand watching his kids wrestle.
That's funny.
It was amazing. So Pretty Deadly do this weird double hip attack. She already made several derogatory comments about Pretty Deadly's attire and their flamboyance. Ridge gets in. He gets hot tag. He does some throws. He tosses Ford around him. Then we get an attempt at the beat to the Baldrin, which are cut off. Then we do get them, but the Brawling Brutes are thrown to the steps. Commercial. Back from commercial. Butch has got the hot tag. He's doing moonsaults. He's doing some offense, but eventually there's a Butch power bomb onto Kip Williams. Ouch. Prince gets the hidden tag, and then there is a suplex. Ridge is on the mat. He gets a from the heavens frog splash plus a leg drop from the top rope. That's only two. Daddy Lashley is then interrupted his watching his kids by B-Fab, and she has a pitch for him. Don't know where that's going. At least we don't know tonight. And eventually, Butch accidentally kicks Ridge. This leads to Street Profits hitting the Revival, and they win. And Ridge and Butch are fighting, and they leave separately. Greg, are the Brawling Brutes breaking up?
I don't think so, but maybe.
Is Sheamus coming back to make everybody get along?
Possibly, but do you care is really the question.
Well, the SmackDown Dads. We have a special SmackDown Dads division.
Yeah, we do. By the way, there is a shot. It is Cody.
It was right.
I was able to zoom in on a feed, but yeah, it's 100% Cody in the background.
So do you think the Street Profits can win the tag titles?
Probably.
Is this where B-Fab's plan comes into play?
No, I don't think so.
Is her plan to somehow convince Sean Adonis to join the team?
No.
Is her plan to get herself to join the team so she doesn't get cut?
Possibly. I think that makes good sense.
Listen, they could put Shansu the Adonis in there and he could be the one that just gets beat like a drum.
Well, I mean, Cameron Grimes already got a job.
Oh, man. Cameron Grimes slander here on the show. By the way, it's not that we don't like Cameron Grimes, but apparently WWE doesn't.
Yeah.
So, Greg, we are already through like the first quarter of the Sleepy SmackDown, and we are back to, I don't know, why don't we, it's been too long, Greg. I think it's been like 2 minutes before since a recap. All right. So, dude. LWO and Santos, and we're going to see more of this later, and Ray got his knee fixed. So apparently the reason why this was so fast-forwarded last week is because Ray legitimately needed his knee fixed.
Yeah, my question is, was this a legitimate injury that happened in this angle, or was this, it was Bray working on a bum knee and he actually needed it fixed? Or I've also heard that no one's actually confirmed that Rey Mysterio actually had surgery. It may be storyline. So I don't know.
I saw some, okay. So Cultaholic, I was listening to some of their stuff this week on their YouTube channel, and they think it's a real injury. So maybe it's all work. It'd be great if it's all work. Raise the man, like legit raise the man. So Dragon Lee wants to get Santos, but instead he gets Axiom. So Greg, you don't regularly watch NXT. What were your thoughts when you saw the goof in the mask?
First, I thought I was checking my channel to see if I had accidentally flipped into an old episode of Lucha Underground.
Well, it could have been from Lucha Underground. So recap number three, Axiom highlights. So were they at least a little more excited after the Axiom package?
Not really.
He's the perfect guy, though, for them to bring up in this fashion. He'll come up again some other time. And if he never comes up, who cares? Because he makes Dragon Lee look good, and Dragon Lee just needs to beat the crap out of people.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Dragon Lee yet. I mean, I know I'm supposed to be, but the Cedric Alexander stuff, I think, really has tainted him for me. I hate to say that. But when I saw him tonight, it's like, okay, you're going to play against Axiom. Okay, it's two luchador wrestlers, lucha style wrestlers. They're going to have a great match. There's going to be a lot of flips and, you know, a lot of fun athletic stuff that's going to go on in this match. But it did nothing to make me invested in this match. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense because, I mean, Axiom comes in cold. And here's the, you know, honest to God truth, the Axiom wrestler is another guy from Spain. They put the mask on him. He actually has more personality with the mask on than he does without it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, I mean, there's some amazing stuff in here between the Dragon Lee dropkick, the height he gets when Axiom's trying to do leapfrog and he catches him, dive over the top ropes. Like some of the flips we get here. And like the one where he does the, where he kicks Axiom and Axiom kind of lands on his butt in the corner and then he dives over the ropes and kicks him. That's great. When Axiom's doing the handstand in the corner, he just kicks him right in the face. Dragon Lee is showing off his stuff, but Axiom hits a beautiful half and half suplex and the C4 off the top, which also looks amazing. And Dragon Lee hits a spinning DDT called Operation Dragon. And I think you've already answered my question, Greg, because I was going to say, when I think about Operation, I think about the childhood game and, you know, you hit the side and the red nose lights up and it makes a terrible sound.
Yeah.
Axiom hit the side in the middle of his operation.
Yeah. And the other thing with Dragon Lee that kind of freaked me out tonight is when he came out, and I don't know what it was, if it's the mask, the shape of the mask or what. But I thought, oh my God, is that Rey Mysterio? And then I was like, no, wait, there's no tattoos on him. But it looked, I don't know if it was a Rey Mysterio inspired mask or an old Rey Mysterio mask. I don't know.
His mask reminds me a lot of formerly Kalisto, but now he's wrestling back as his original name. But with the tail in the back.
But the cut of the front, right?
Looks just like Rey. He looks like a Rey Jr. But yeah. There's a storyline here where, I mean, Dragon Lee should end up in this feud with LWO on the other side, with side helping that side.
I don't know. We'll see.
That was the one turn tonight I did not see, was getting into that feud. So, yeah, this match is amazing. But if you want an amazing flippy match, there was also one of those with the Young Bucks. And that was on Dynamite this week. And Matt Ederer did a great job breaking down Dynamite this week on the 3D podcast. So if you prefer that, like, and I bet you there'll be an even better match tomorrow with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks Jericho.
I'm sure, but here's the problem. Are you going to remember this match next week when we come back to SmackDown, when we see Dragon Lee going against another, for lack of a better word, I'm going to drop it, a jobber.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about which other luchadors are down in NXT.
Doesn't have to be a luchador. It's going to be Cameron Grimes next week.
You beat Cameron Grimes. And you know what? Both of the guys from LWO, both not Santos, but the other two have masks. Yeah. So we can just throw masks on those guys.
Do you know what? If Riddick Moss was around, there was a quick loss to Riddick Moss there. Like,
yeah, Riddick Moss. Every time I think about Riddick Moss, I think about Emma and how they announced that Australian show. And then Emma was like, yeah, I'm going to be on the, I hope I get to be on the show. Then nope, guys, I'm not going to be there. I'm cut.
Yeah. So,
Greg, WrestleMania package. Are you going to WrestleMania?
And is this the one that we thought was going to be in California or the one that's actually going to be in Philly?
It's the one in Philly, yeah. So, speaking of Escobar, here comes Escobar. He's back with his old suit and his old theme.
Yeah. For a second here, so I had this on mute. I'll be 100% honest and transparent. You're going to have to guide me through this one. I was watching on split screens tonight because I was watching the Mooseheads game out of PEI, and they had tied the game in the last minute and went to overtime and went to a shootout. And all I saw was the word Santa's across the top of his Titantron. And I was like, oh God, Vince McMahon is back because he's lost his last name. He's now just going to be Santos. And then I saw the name come up on the bottom of the screen when he was walking out as Santos Escobar. I'm like, oh, okay, Vince isn't in charge. Both names are still there. Got it. We can breathe a sigh of relief.
So he basically said Ray was his hero. They were family. He was like a father figure to him. He felt like at home. But last week he realized that Dominic was right. You took my shot for the U.S. title. You took the title. And then when Carlito came in, you took his side over me. And you betrayed me. And you think I betrayed you. And then he gets really personal. He says he hopes Rey Mysterio never comes back. He hopes that his surgery didn't go well. He hopes that he ends up in an infection in his leg that costs him his whole leg. So Selena's in the back.
That's rather specific, isn't it?
Very specific. And since Selena's in the back and she's crying and she comes out and he says he's done with her because she sided with Rey and he slaps Chase out of her mouth. And then Wild and Cruz come out and they are... Del Toro and Wild are out. Del Toro and Wild then get in the ring and he's like, hey man, we were together before. He's trying to bring back I was trying to think of what the faction name was. They were because he was Legado del Fantasma.
The Fantasma, yeah.
Legado del Fantasma. He's trying to bring the family back together and they say no and then he says fine and they go to leave and he attacks the two of them from behind, cementing their jobber status. Because one luchador beats up two.
That's 100% right. Yep.
And they have to be saved by another member of the SmackDown Dad Society, Carlito.
Yeah. Now, didn't we say on this podcast many, many weeks ago when the whole Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar for the Intercontinental title, or sorry, for the U.S. title, first started, like, why the hell would you do this? This doesn't make sense. This is stupid. And I think we called this of how bad this was going to be and how quickly, like, how they were going to break up Escobar out of the group as soon as this whole process started. What was that, 6 months ago?
Yep. And so I'm waiting for him to take, I'm trying to think, Garza and... Oh my gosh, there's Garza and the two Latin...
Carrillo?
Yeah, Carrillo and Garza. I figure that if he can't get his original guys back, like why would he want these idiots back? He should go get Garza and Carrillo and bring them up and they can be his tag team. Because they're already better than the two guys he had before.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you're thinking about... what were they? The Latin Lovers. Yeah.
Lotharios?
Los Lotharios, yes.
Now they've been repackaging NXT and they are gotten back to their roots and their grandfather was a famous wrestler and now they've gotten back into their roots. So
Sure.
Whatever. They fit in.
Whatever.
We're just
whatever.
Okay, listen, the biggest thing Santos should be fighting for is that LWO merch money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a rough one to go.
So how are we going to divide this up? Are we going to have LWO Mexico and LWO LA?
Maybe. That's a possibility. By the way, any idea how long Rey Mysterio, who, by the way, was the 82nd United States champion, how long his reign was?
10 weeks.
A little longer than that. I'm trying to do math. It's 85 days. So he won the title on August the 11th, 2023.
So like about 16 weeks.
Yeah. So, but that's when we were complaining about this summer, at the end of the summer, of why would that whole tournament and stuff that went on. Yeah, that's right. It was around the SummerSlam time and everything else.
Oh, so 12 weeks. He got 12 weeks is a long, like when you think about, title run for Ray, that's 3 months, dude. That's a long time for Ray.
Do you remember who he won it from?
Austin Theory.
Do you know how long Austin Theory's title reign was?
Was it like 12 weeks?
258 days, better part of a year.
What?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, the question is, will Logan Paul hold the title till WrestleMania?
Great question. I think that's a distinct possibility.
Which means that which titles are on SmackDown right now?
Does it matter? None. The answer is none.
I think you're right. The tag titles are currently over on Raw. The women's tag titles are currently over on Raw.
Correct.
Our US title is with Logan Paul, which he shows up when he wants. And Roman Reigns has the world title, and he shows up when he wants. We need a TV title, Greg.
We don't need more titles. We really don't need more titles. Do you know how many titles WWE currently has?
Okay, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4.
According to Cage Match. Seven. Now, this includes NXT as well.
10, 11. I'm going to say 12.
15.
Holy cow. Oh, they're counting things like the Heritage Cup.
They are also counting the WWE Championship and the Universal Championship as two separate ones.
And the tag titles. Yeah, so there's your 15. Holy cow, Greg. That's way too many titles.
Yeah, too many damn titles.
Yeah, remember when you used to be able to name, it would be like back in the day of world title, IC title, tag title, you'd be, and even when they had the women's title, you could name all the champions. Those days are long gone.
I'm not even sure I could name half of these people, and I'm looking at the damn page right now.
Who the heck is the Supernova 11? Wait, what?
Yeah. Wait,
what's the Heritage Cup?
That's about it right now. By the way, the answer, Noam Dar.
Okay. So after Santos beats them up, Carlito shakes him away. And yeah, so we're going to see the highlight of our show last week was definitely Kevin Owens. And Kevin Owens is on the show, but only in recap form for recap number 4. KO gets himself suspended, and apparently he's going to have a match next week.
No, not a match.
Oh, sorry. He's going to have the Grayson Waller effect, which should lead to him beating up Grayson Waller.
Correct. As I drink, because next week it's on FS1, as I'm here with my bottle of
Pepsi.
What am I drinking? Pepsi. I'm here drinking some Pepsi next week. Chicago, add to the rumors.
Oh, dear God. He's also the devil on the other channel, and he's the mystery signee.
Yeah, he's all those things.
So Grayson Waller makes his way out against poor Cameron Grimes. Okay, I'm just going to roll through this match because despite Cameron Grimes having some cool-looking offense, Waller hits a rolling flatliner. There's a distraction by Theory, and Waller hits his Dingo Driver, as it's called by Road Dogg, for the win. Dingo Driver, Greg. Best call ever.
The Dingo Driver. That's what she said.
That's The other one was, what would you do in a tag match like this from earlier in the show? And Road Dogg said, I tag Billy, which was the best line. It's like, that's so
Road Dogg was in business for himself tonight.
He was in business. And the best part is his boss is now Triple H. Triple H is just shitting himself laughing. Let's make fun of Billy for a commentary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uncle H is in the back just laughing his ass off. I can hear it.
Okay, and the other thing I've been skipping through is, I think I already missed the first one where we had Bianca in the back during a commercial talking to Meechan, and Meechan got beat up. And this is the point where she's in the back talking to our second victim of the night, Selena Vega, who's checking on her boys, Legado del LWO members Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro, the heavyweight champions of the cruiserweight division. And yes, Selena Vega gets dropped too.
Yep, that's a true fact, sir.
The only jobbers on SmackDown. You can only, the other women, there's no more women faces. You have to go to Raw to get somebody to help you.
That's all that's there.
Hey, Greg, speaking of we need to recycle things, recap number 5. It's been about 6 months. We haven't seen Booker T and Steve Austin fighting in a grocery store, so let's put that in.
Yeah. I don't understand where they pick these or why they pick these, but yes.
Okay, so
you could almost set a calendar to it. Like,
dude, this is when I start dozing off. Like, at this point, I'm like, oh, shit. And I struggle to stay awake for the rest of this show. John Cena's loss at Crown Jewel. By the way, this beat makes us hit recap number 6. And Solo comes up. Did anything happen in this promo? Because I literally dozed off.
No.
So basically, Paul Heyman, and then we get a joke about him being a walrus.
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Okay. In the back, Charlotte needs to make a call. We know who she's calling. Our main event match is Jimmy versus LA Knight. Yeah. Why did this match happen?
So they could set up the ending.
Yeah, which was blunt force trauma, 1, 2, 3, Jimmy's flat in his back. But Solo comes out and attacks. And there's a beatdown on poor LA Knight. He's on the announce table. And then adrenaline in my soul, something, something Cody Rhodes.
Correct.
Is, okay, so why is Cody here?
Because he was in the back talking to Nick Aldis.
So is he here to bring LA Knight over? And is that the trade? We get Becky for our war games and the other team gets LA Knight for theirs.
Maybe. Do I care? No.
LA Knight versus gets added to fight Judgment Day. Well, it's only because, I mean, only if they CM Punk can't make it.
Well, I mean, a Pepsi Phil, I mean, it's just down the street from him. He might show up.
You know what the best part about this whole promo was? This whole segment was?
What?
Yeah!
That was it. Him saying, yeah, that was, and Cody's theme song and the crowd losing its mind.
I don't mean for this to sound bad, but isn't that the best part of every LA Knight appearance? Is the crowd just being able to scream yeah and reminisce back to the 90s when they could Steve Austin?
Dude, his best part of his matches, the guy has a few big, like his shoulder tackle, his scoop slam into his jiving elbow, his blunt force trauma. Like he's got some moves, but he's like, it is an Austin match. It's an Austin match after he got dropped on his neck. It's just, it's like this, he's got the 5 moves of doom down. He is ready to be a WWE champion.
I'm just waiting for him to start kicking, stomping mud holes dry. Like,
and then, and as he does it slowly, they go, yeah, yeah. And he speeds it up. So the yeahs get faster.
Oh my God. I can see them doing that next week. If they start that. So help me God, this is a Brad. You should get royalties from it.
Okay, we have Charlotte and the crew come out, and it looks like Charlotte's conversation was successful because, and their damage control comes out and teases them. They don't have somebody to help them. And like out of nowhere, where the hell did Becky Lynch come in that outfit?
Here's the part that surprised me. We have been trained and conditioned to expect when someone is coming out, even when someone who's not supposed to be there to come out, that you hear the music. And I was expecting to hear the whoa, right? And hear the steampunk Becky Lynch music to hit. No, she comes out through the crowd. And you knew that she was coming out through the crowd because all the fans turned. You could watch them on TV. They turned and looked left. And then what's funny is you knew something was happening because the screen, your video, was a tight shot of the three of them stood in the ring. So you knew that you weren't seeing, you know, Michael Cole and the backside of the ring there because WWE likes to frame it in such a way. So it's just like, okay, cool, whatever. But I think it probably would have been a bigger pop if you heard the whoa and then have them brawl Becky from one side, the three from the other, going at the four in the middle.
Or Greg, if you wanted her to come through the crowd, you have her, you have the music hit and you have them all turn around to face the entrance ramp and Becky's coming down through the crowd.
And very Shield-like. Yeah, that works too.
She's done that before when she's got, when one of the times she led a Raw or SmackDown team and got punched in the face by Nia Jax and had her nose broken. Oh. Conveniently, Nia Jax is not in this match, so Becky's face is safe.
Oh, we'll see. It's war games. It's wall games.
And then,
do you know what the highlight of this night was?
Was it the stupid moonsault at the end where the two of them end up standing and looking at each other awkwardly before they start fighting?
No, no. The highlight of this night was Kevin Patrick saying War Games and saying Becky Lynch.
Yeah, he's got the accent worked well. It was
so good.
But when they did the double moonsaults and then the brawl continued and they awkwardly looked at each other like, what are we supposed to do now? I was like, are they supposed to be off the air by now? And these two women are just like, think they're doing this for the I don't know. It was, the brawl at the end was so awkward because it was like, this is not very intense for four women versus four women. And poor Dakota Kai is like standing awkwardly at the end of the ramp without being able to get involved.
Yeah. It's like, crap. Okay. If I see here, I should be okay.
Shouldn't get in the middle. The question to you is, if Dakota Kai was in this, which woman were they going to be adding?
Oh.
Because it's supposed to be 5-on-5. It's clear that it's supposed to be 5-on-5 because the men's is 5-on-5.
Right. That's a great question. Who would you add here as a 5-on-5?
It's gotta be Meechan, right? You're Meechan, Selena Vega.
No, I wouldn't do either.
B-Fab.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go any of them. What?
It's the whole roster.
Well, here's my problem. There's no one on that roster right now that's got a big enough name. They just pulled Becky Lynch in. I mean, I would say Ronda Rousey, but I'm not sure. I'm trying to refresh my phone here and see if she showed up on the other show tonight. she was backstage there earlier, so.
WWE superstars. I'm like trying to get them to show me the rosters. It's like, let's SmackDown. Okay, so on SmackDown, we've accounted for her. Kathy Kelly, I guess, is available. Oh, look. Okay, wait. Isla Dawn is available. So is Kayla Braxton.
Nope.
We already said Meechan was a no. Scarlett's available.
Yes.
Okay, dude. Stephanie McMahon is still listed on the SmackDown roster page.
Dear God, no.
And Tamina.
No, and that's my problem. And I'm not sure, honestly, if they even have someone on either Raw or NXT to bring and put in that spot. That's my fear right now.
Okay, here's your free agents. Okay, Cedric Alexander, MVP, Omos, Von Wagner, Zion Quinn, and Brock Lesnar.
All those people would make great competitors in the female battle or War Games match.
We could go
with Brock Lesnar, especially.
We could just start like there's a ton of NXT people I could read for you, and you'd be like, "What the hell, Brad?" Yeah.
Do you know who I would put in there?
Cedric Alexander.
No, we're missing the obvious.
Dragon Lee.
No, Cora Jade. Not Cora Jade. Sorry, Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill. No, Cora Jade can come up from NXT. That'd be great.
Well, I mean, you probably could do both, one on each side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no way it's going to be Jade, unless she's killing everybody.
Yeah.
Listen.
Interesting way. Do you know what? That would be a very interesting way to introduce
her.
She
rips the cage off, and she kills both teams.
Yeah, destroys them all.
And stands on top of them all at the end.
Yeah.
I'm down.
Yeah. We booked a better end to War Games than what WWE is going to give you next week.
And they can lower a money in the bank down from the ceiling and she just grab it.
Just randomly give it to her?
Yep. And, yeah, they'll just lower it down as she stands over the entire roster. And then what will happen is she'll go into the Royal Rumble, one, and she'll just throw everybody out one at a time as they run in. And then she'll have both. She'll challenge for both titles at WrestleMania and win both titles. And that'll be the end of WrestleMania. Jade Cargill. And somewhere, if the mouth is hearing this, he is taking a hit out on my life.
I was going to say, I don't know what you are smoking tonight, but I would cut back by at least half next time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So anyways, guys,
I was with you at some point and then you just went completely off the rails. Like,
I've always thought of that would be a crazy storyline is you win Money in the Bank and you hold on to the briefcase and you win the Rumble. And then you declare that you're going to cash in and you want both titles and you want to unify the titles at WrestleMania.
Interesting.
And you have a three-way with one with the two champions plus you, and it's a winner take all. Puts all the titles in one match.
Yeah.
There you go. If this happens at some point, somebody has stolen my genius idea.
They've stolen your idea. Whether it's genius or not, I think that's to be debated.
It'd be even better if it was the current like NXT champion and they were gonna unify all three.
Again, I'm still waiting for the day that, and they had the opportunity with Otis, and it drove me nuts that they didn't. But it doesn't have to be a challenge for the heavyweight title. Like, it would have been fun to have Otis and Tucker challenge for the tag titles or something with Money in the Bank. Oh, it would have been different.
Instead, they cut Tucky.
Yeah, poor Tucky.
Yeah.
All right. This episode's gone. Completely gone off the rail. Let's send this home, Brad.
Okay, let's do the synopsis.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Synopsis, which is brought to you tonight by Sleep, I hope soon. So let's go through this, Greg, because this was...
Oh, we're getting the scissors out tonight, my friend.
I think this would be brutal. Okay. Damage Control promo to start.
Do you know what? I like that enough that I'm going to keep that, actually.
Three-way tag match for a number one contendership. Brawlin Brutes versus Pretty Deadly versus the Street Profits, who win this match.
I'm going to say Superstar Special on this 10-minute and 58-second match.
And the only parts we're definitely keeping are the two Daddy Lashley spottings in the back.
Sure. Sounds good.
Sitting there drinking his coffee. And in fact, I would prefer if we're going to cut this, that we see what Daddy Lashley was up to while watching the match. We just have a...
alternate feed.
So it's picture in picture, but we see it from Lashley's view where it's him sipping on his coffee and he's watching the screen.
That's funny. I like that. I like that.
Alternate feed. What about the Ray legitimate injury maybe bit?
No, cut
any of the stuff about Bianca, Charlotte, and Shotzi trying to recruit people in the back and people getting beat up because nobody should be friends with Bianca.
Yeah, I think it all's gonna stay.
Okay, Dragon Lee versus poor Axiom.
Yeah, we're gonna poor cut this. 9.5-minute match.
Axiom got sent back to NXT.
That's
in a box. It says Florida.
Return to sender.
Santos Escobar.
Speaking of things we're going to cut.
Well, you know who's happy about this? Wild, Cruz del Toro, and Joaquin Wild. You know why? Because they didn't get beat up on national television by one guy.
That they're still getting a paycheck?
Grayson Waller's match versus Cameron Grimes to the moon,
to the cutting floor,
to the floor. Down goes Cameron Grimes. Do you want to keep Steve Austin fighting Booker T for the umpteenth time?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's got to stay. That's unquestionable. That's uncuttable. John Cena getting thumbed to the throat like 45 times.
We're gonna cut this whole segment,
including the promo,
everything.
And LA Knight versus Jimmy. Can we just we'll just keep LA Knight hitting his finisher and Cody Rhodes run in and save.
Yeah, I think we're superstarring this last. It's a 9-minute 20-second match. And we're superstarring the hell out of this.
9 minutes of it we're going to cut, and we'll keep the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, basically.
It's we're gonna turn into an LA Knight highlight package with Cody's running in for the save. Speaking of, it turned into a highlight package. The women's brawl at the end introducing Becky Lynch.
So we're going to keep it up until the point where Becky Lynch enters the ring. That's where we're going off the air. We're cutting as of right there.
No, okay. So I strongly disagree. I think we keep the whole thing, except that we play it out the way we should have, which is that when Becky starts coming down the promenade, her theme song plays, the whole crowd turns and looks, they cheer, and then the brawl happens.
Yeah, but the brawl at the end was stupid, and it had the double moonsault spot that was kind of annoying and stupid. So I was just going to go and have it her just getting in the ring, and that's where we cut the show.
When Becky comes in, and then the two sides hit the ring, and the first punch to the throat, it stops right there. Because then it looks impressive.
Sure. We could go that route. All right.
And then, but we're making sure Becky's music actually plays. That's what actually eats up the time, is Becky slowly walks out while the crowd loses its mind.
What is she, Roman Reigns?
Yeah, she is Roman. At this point, she's more over than Roman Reigns and works harder.
Yeah, fair. Oh my God, what did I see? I saw a picture online this week that said Sting has had as many matches or more matches this calendar year than Roman Reigns.
He will after Saturday. They'll hide, and Saturday Sting will pass him.
Yeah. Like, how friggin' nuts is that?
Like, it's the best gimmick in the world. Like, if you're Roman Reigns, do we really blame Roman? It's like blaming Brock for his schedule.
No, you can't. I mean, but it's... Yeah, you can't. That's the problem. But it really is hampering now what WWE can do. I hate to say it.
Because the bloodline is too small. Like, they need new members or something to keep the storyline going.
Yeah, I don't know what they do, but I haven't been enthused with this.
They give Logan Paul a title so that one, like, literally, let's on SmackDown, the only champion left is Io Sky.
Yeah, that's it.
And Io Sky has had more title defenses than Roman. Like, if she has three or four more title defenses, she'll have more than he did all year.
Io Sky better be asking for a raise right now.
Oh,
yeah. I'm the only one here who's working.
I'm the only champion that shows up to work every week, guys.
Yeah. Keep me more money.
Fly me first class, too, while you're at it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how she got Kairi Sane back. Because she was like, she's like, give me a raise. And they said, we got a better idea. And Kairi Sane just pops out of a box. It's like, hey, I'm here.
Oh, my.
All right, we've ruined this show. If you want a podcast, we have a plethora here on Sunday night's main event, including live audio wrestling, which is back. One of the most downloaded shows in Canada. Like, the charts are showing that this show is super popular. So congrats to the guys. Our Sundays are super because you also get Sunday night's main event, our flagship show with Boris, who will be breaking down all of the news and happenings, including a look after Full Gear. We'll also have a Full Gear aftercast, which will take place this weekend. You get shows that cover things like Rampage, AEW, NXT, Raw, MLW, Impact. Like, Greg, we literally, and then the Godfathers of podcasting, doing some pop culture. There's just a show. It feels like every time I turn on my podcasting app, I'm downloading two shows from Sunday night's main event. So thanks, guys, for keeping me company. And Greg, it is the best value in podcasting. Patreon.com/SNME Radio for about $1 a week. $4 a month, you get about 45 podcasts a week.
Yeah.
No, not literally 45, but probably about one or two a day. So probably 12 or 13.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's almost to the point of overwhelming. There's always something on there. And I mean, you don't have to listen to everything. While we encourage you to listen to what makes you happy and brings you joy. And if it's MLW, we've got a show for that. If it's AEW, we've got two shows for that, three shows for that. If it's WWE, we have three shows for that.
And it's the best. We're the buffet of podcasting. You'll find something that you like, and make sure you go back for extra protein. And I'm not sure which one of the podcasts is the protein. Not us. We are definitely the bread rolls of podcasting.
We are 100% the filler. We are the bottom of the barrel. We're that sneeze guard on the salad bar. That's what we are, Brad.
Or your free waters that come with your meal.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening to us on the free feed. Again, check the Patreon feed and check us out all weekend as we'll be covering and breaking down Full Gear and all of the happenings. As tonight, literally tonight, there were 5 hours of wrestling to watch. So we're hopefully watching everything so you don't have to.
Yeah, and we're going to have the Log Driver's Waltz on in the background the whole time, so don't worry.
That'll be in the show description from this, a link to that if you'd like to hear the whole show. And shout out to Sean Burkhead for no particular reason. Good night, everybody. We the ones.